Allon më vruatër kam jo më këndal Qire vuren hatar një fua Në kalës kja unuje
Hey folks, it's Graham Sutherland here. After a long, hiatus, I've been having trouble with computer, and I just assumed because I've been also having trouble with my Sky TV, my satellite TV. I just assumed it was everything on kind of half throttle. That's what I was thinking, but. I got so frustrated today, I ended up calling the provider, and yeah, it looks like I've got an identifiable problem with my connection, which is good. So they promised to fix it within 24 hours, but that was only about 7 or 8 hours ago. So this will be a short show, but hopefully action-packed. So much has happened. It's kind of like, it's quite mind-boggling, where do you start? What order do you put it in? And, you know, what's really, really going on? There's so much theories and counter-theories and people. So many people believe, I'm surprised, I have to say, very surprised, the amount of people that still believe in mainstream media. I mean, they lied about JFK, they lied about 9/11, and then they lied about 9/11 again and again and again and again, so it got ridiculous. They lied about weapons of mass destruction, which led to an invasion of Iraq that killed 4 million innocent souls, all based on a lie that was told by Tony Blair and George Bush, all based on a complete lie, a complete fabrication. As I say, it led to the murder of some 4 million souls. Absolutely disgusting. And then, of course, we've got the paedophile, the Jimmy Savile paedophile ring that was all covered up and all hushed up. And it looked like, there was other names, political leaders and stuff involved in the same ring. But the BBC covered up that paedophile ring, covered up that occultic, cabal or, whatever it is, covered it up. For the best part of 30 years. So, the obvious conclusion is that they're compulsive liars. That's what they are, they're compulsive liars. How the hell are we going to trust them now to be telling the truth about Corona when they've lied to us about so many other major things? So, the obvious has just became even more obvious. This whole Corona thing is just an absolute fiasco. We are being totally, totally manipulated. I'm not saying there's not some kind of virus going around. But I know for a fact, I've done enough research just this last couple of weeks and spoken to enough people to know and to be able to say without a shadow of a doubt, the numbers are grossly exaggerated. And an awful lot of the footage that we're seeing is it's staged. It's obviously staged. I'm talking about dummies and wheeled stretchers. obvious dummies. You don't notice it. If you're just watching a news show, you don't really notice it. Unless you freeze frame it and zoom in, and you can see, you know, they've got
dummies.
Actual dummies with ventilators stuck in their mouth, and big bandages around their head, and they're all covered in, you know, theatre clothes.
They're lying to us.
They're trying to unite the world in fear. And that's what they did. I don't know whether it was real or whether it was staged. But when this all started, before it really hit the US and Europe that hard, you maybe remember, there was all these videos circulating online about people in Wuhan just falling over, just keeling over and banging their heads on the ground and everything. And other people just, you know, basically passed out on the park bench or whatever, or else just rolling about in the ground in agony. And then they said it was 5G. Apparently 5G does agitate the oxygen molecules, so it kind of sounds like it might be, you know, maybe the case. There's certainly a connection there. And enough people, scientists included, have came forward and said, yes, 60 gigahertz is a frequency that agitates oxygen. That's what it does. I don't know the frequency of a microwave, but the frequency of a microwave agitates the water, agitates H2O, and that's that agitation that causes the cooking. So this 60 gigahertz apparently agitates the oxygen molecule. It's quite difficult to know. I mean, we know that telling lies. There was a doctor even came forward and said there was 3,500 cases in his caseload, or his wards. There was 3,500. That's a big number. 3,500 deaths. That, you know, they were kind of like, they weren't clearly defined, put it that way. They weren't clearly defined. You know, complications, or, you know, maybe, you know, breathing difficulties or whatever. And they changed them all to death by coronavirus. And doctors questioned this and said, look, wait a minute, these people didn't die of coronavirus. They died of, you know, cardiac arrest, or, you know, sepsis, or pneumonia or whatever. And they were told that, you know, if there's any doubt whatsoever, even the slightest bit of doubt, just chalk it down as corona. So, clearly they're trying to exaggerate and trying to unite us in fear. We can absolutely guarantee that much. But the question is, I mean, it leads you on to thinking, well, why are they doing this? The reason is obviously because they want to vaccinate us. Well, I'm absolutely convinced, and I've seen enough evidence from different qualified medical staff, absolutely convinced that the virus is in the vaccine. And that's why they're so keen to give it to everybody, because it'll completely decimate the population. Then they'll turn around and say, oh, it's so strong, even the vaccine is not working. Or, oh, they died of another virus. It's just, you know, you can really see it. You can see through the plan. It's so obvious what they're doing. Absolutely obvious. It's like an idiot test. Absolutely like an idiot test. I mean, the numbers are grossly exaggerated. And I'm sure most of you have probably seen that the Fox News clip. There was a hot mic on. And they were basically saying, you know, don't panic. It's grossly exaggerated. The numbers are about a tenth of what they're claiming on the TV. You can take your mask off. It was on Fox News, but it was actually a hot mic in the corridors of power in Congress or whatever. about to give a political speech. It's absolutely obvious that they're just, you know, they're just playing us for fools. I never want to see that. And they seem to be using this opportunity to raise up the tension in the South China Sea with China and the Arabian Sea with Iran. They keep threatening, you know, to annihilate them and all this kind of stuff. And the Iranians are saying, well, you know, if you harass us or come into our waters, we'll blow up your ships, and you already know how accurate our missiles are. So, this doesn't look like they're backing down. And it doesn't look like China's backing down either. It's obvious they're going to wait to crash the economy. I mean, the price of oil, wow. I was absolutely gobsmacked at what happened to the oil market. So that's oil industry screwed. There's no point in them working. There's no point in them extracting oil if it's got a negative value. It's not going to happen. But then you can understand it as well, because there was a price war on between Russia and Saudi Arabia, and we've ended up with all the storage facilities in the world basically full, including tankers at sea, which is basically like an overflow. So yeah, so we've got all that going on, and no one's buying oil. There's only a few trucks on the road. Everything's stopped. I've not put in fuel for the 3 weeks. So yeah, that will obviously have a knock-on effect. We could safely say the economy is screwed, and unlikely, I mean, this is an intentional crash, and it's very unlikely, even if this wasn't an intentional crash, it's very unlikely we'd recover from this. It's too extreme, it's too severe, and we know it's going to engineer. So they don't want to recover from it anyway, they want to crash the economy. And absorb themselves the responsibility of repaying of $24 trillion of debt. If you use some of that military hardware you spent all that money on. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. I never thought it was quite kind of gobsmacked. I mean, I've been speaking about these matters for the years. I knew what was coming 40 years ago, because it's all biblical. It's all completely biblical. And if you think that's some kind of coincidence, you need a reality check. It's all in the book of Daniel, the book of John, and the book of Revelation. In fine detail. In fine detail. So yeah, I've known this is coming. I just didn't expect it all to happen quite so rapidly. And I knew it was on the horizon, but I actually think, from a Christian perspective, I would say this is us at the start of the 7-year tribulation now. And certainly the tsunamis and all the die-offs of the belt and the bees and the fish and all that stuff, and all these earthquakes. I mean, every other day, earthquake here, earthquake there. That's all entirely biblical. Earthquakes in unusual places, or diverse places, if you want to be more scripturally accurate. But yeah, we knew this was going down the pipe. I just didn't expect it to. I didn't expect it to happen overnight. And that's basically what's happened. The first half of January, everything was still normal, if you remember right. It wasn't until the end of... towards the end of January, all that madness started kicking off. Well, yeah. These are the times.
speak of the end times.
Absolutely no doubt whatsoever about that. We're just at the beginning of the 7-year period. So, we can expect, after 3.5 years, 42 months, we can expect the fascist society and the emergence of the Antichrist, the false prophet and all that. That's what we can expect. Now, the Bible's not been wrong about anything else, so it's not going to be wrong about that either.
It's kind of mad in a way, because you think to yourself, all of these New World Order, Masonic Elite,
Bilderbergers, whatever you want to call them,
they must be aware of the biblical narrative. They must be. Must be. I mean, it's in.
You don't have to read the Bible to get it. I mean, it's in the.
It's in popular culture, isn't it? It's in movies and everything. People know about Armageddon.
They know about the. They know about the false prophet. They know about the Antichrist and everything. It's kind of.
Well, it's in
It's part of popular culture. Really, to know about that. As I say, it's in movies and everything. You don't have to be a, a Bible scholar to know about these things. But
modern society, the way things are going,
absolutely
falling into place and assembling itself like an intricate jigsaw puzzle, just as was written.
Well,
I would fully expect World War III. Quite shortly,
they'll be halted. They will be halted. There'll be a peace deal made.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Really, when you see the
outpouring of evil. Speak about Lucifer rising.
It's like
absolutely mind-numbing. Some of the stuff that's coming through the TV meant to be entertainment. It's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
It's getting more and more perverse, and more and more sick, and also the antics of the that war that's going on between the Muslims and the Hindus
in northern India, for instance, and
you've got the same thing going on in Nigeria, haven't you, between Boko Haram and
Christian people.
Some of the violence there, some of the stuff that's happening, it just blows your mind.
Tribe rising against tribe, and race, nation rising against nation, clan rising against clan, all over the place, in the most obscure places as well, you know, that were relatively peaceful previously. And now all of a sudden, the place is a bloodbath, and it's really going on here. And it doesn't make any sense unless you can see it. From the spiritual perspective, the spiritual dynamic, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, it doesn't make any sense that, a multi-billionaire would somehow need any more money. But yet, you look at the likes of Soros and the Rothschilds and stuff, even Bill Gates, to some extent,
they're insanely greedy.
You know, they are multi-billionaires.
They couldn't possibly spend all their money.
But yet they want to continue exploiting other people and ripping them off. Making an absolute fortune, every day, because that's what they've always done.
That's the pattern.
So yeah, there's a blindness about it. There's a blind greed.
No,
it's really not. You can't understand it, as I say, unless you see it from the spiritual perspective. And these people must be blind. They must know the biblical narrative. They must know what's going to come and whose side they're on. Well, they obviously know whose side they're on. And half of them are, cultists and all that sort of thing. So, they clearly know whose side they're on. They must be blind to the consequences of their action as to who wins. There is a certain blindness to that. It doesn't make any sense. I think I've got a few other people on the line. So we can maybe hear from some of the others. We've got Stephen Whitener on, and Richard.
Hello. Hi, Graham. This is Stephen Whitener. Yeah.
Hi, Stephen. What's your take?
Pardon?
What's your take on things?
Oh, my take? Oh, it's like I'm living in the middle of a movie. I wake up every day and I have to just say, wait a minute, that wasn't a dream, you know? It's how it feels every morning when I wake up. I think maybe, oh, I must have just been dreaming all this that's happening. But no, it is very much just like we're living in the end time. And that it's a nightmare. You know, the people, all, and the biggest part of it that gets me the most is how gullible people are. Like you said, how many people still listen to and believe what the mainstream media tells them, even though everything they've told us for decades was nothing but a lie. Yeah. They told us thalidomide was safe. They told us cigarettes were safe. They told us there was a plane hit the Pentagon, that there were weapons of mass destruction. You know, all these things, they've got a track record of zilch. But all these people still just follow along dutifully. And when this first started, I was very frightened. I thought that this was for real, that they had a test for this virus. And recently I went and looked at the way that they investigated it, read of the reports of the method they used when they quote-unquote discovered this virus, and they never proved that this virus was what was causing the illness, although probably it was. They developed a test with PCR, polymerase chain reaction, the testing for a little bit of genetic material, which really doesn't test for the virus. It tests for a genetic code, a little snippet of it. And that test was never designed to be used for diagnosis. Only once you already had confirmed what you had and you had already mapped the genome of a pathogen, or you were very sure what you were looking for, were you supposed to use this test. The person who developed it said as much. Yet that test is the one that they used all around the world, and it gives lots of false positives. If you've had the flu vaccine, or if you've had the cold, you get all these false positives.
That's
plus,
right.
China told lots of lies at the beginning. They told, like you said, they had these people who were falling down. They had that, it looked terrifying. But I have to take that with a grain of salt. Everything that comes out of China, they control pretty much. They have the Chinese firewall, and whatever we see, they know that we're going to see, I think. I think that they played us with a lot of that.
Yes.
I think what happened myself is that in Wuhan, they locked the city down and then purged it of all their dissidents, that they have the social credit score system. They know where everybody is. They know who everybody is, and they know who the troublemakers are. So they use that as an excuse to get rid of, I saw at last count, 21 million cell phones are no longer active in China.
Really?
And I believe that's what was really happening in China. And at the same time that was happening, they made sure that the people kept traveling all around the world, the people who were carrying this virus, and
right.
and pumping up the fear so that we would know how horrible this thing was. When it got here, it's going to just be horrible, horrible. And according to the statistics that they used, the death rate was 3.4%, maybe even as high as 5%. You know, and that's just not the case. That's completely inaccurate. And that scared me because that's like 30 or 40 times more deadly than the common flu. So I thought, this is a really bad thing that's coming here. And I bought into it. And I come to find out, it's not even nearly as deadly as the common flu. Less people died this March than last year. Last year in March, more people died than they did this year. Now, if this was such a bad thing, what happened? You know, there's something... Something's going on. They're lying about that, and it's just to control us through fear and push this agenda, to push through their new world order and their surveillance technology. That's what the social distancing is for. I don't believe that it has anything to do with you and a virus. It has to do with the technology they have that can distinguish one person from another, you know, at a distance of 6 feet. There's been technology that tracked special forces behind enemy lines for 15 years to within that degree of accuracy. So they have that technology. They're rolling it out with this 5G, and that's what it's about, I believe. That's my take on it anyway, and I'm really not afraid of it anymore, except my biggest fear is that maybe they didn't release the bioweapon they have, and when they say that we're having the second wave this fall, they may release the real one. But, you know, I can't just live in fear. I want to go back and live our lives. If we don't get this economy started, we're done for. I mean, this is worse than the Great Depression. It took 3 years for this many people to become unemployed. In fact, I don't think there were even this many people unemployed during the Great Depression. And we've done it in a matter of days, of weeks, just a few weeks, and everybody's gone because the government said stop working. You know, it's a nightmare. I can't believe that people are just sitting still for this.
Stephen, Graham, hello. Mm-hmm.
Richard
here, and I'd like to add to that, where perhaps the biggest thing to fear is these politicians, these elected officials becoming more and more intoxicated with power during this draconian lockdown. Yeah. I mean, you know, we have different governors and mayors getting a kick out of deciding what's essential and what's non-essential, banning things like seeds to enforce the Agenda 2030 goal of controlling food production, centralizing everything into different areas of the globe, keeping complete dependence on one system for all people. And the numbers, like Stephen says there, I mean, there's completely out of whack. For the 2017-2018 flu season, we had 80,000 die from the flu here. Right now, we're seeing numbers that are just barely around half that, and that's with all the inflated numbers we're getting. All the other ailments you'd normally find people dying of for this season, you know, this fall, winter, the time period of the flu season up until this part of spring for so many other things has not been reported. We're not seeing any cases of people dying from kidney disease, from heart disease, from Crohn's disease, you know, all these other things, heart attacks, from the regular flu. You know, none of these are being reported as those deaths. They're all getting shifted to the COVID-19 column. And still, we still have a number that's only half, even with all that inflation distortion, it's still only half what the 2017 to 2018 flu season was at 80,000. So at this point, I mean, like my state, Illinois, you know, where Chicago is located, is now extending to the end of May, till May 30th. They just decided today and announced, you know, one more month. And a lot of people are suggesting independent media. I was catching some shows earlier. And this one nurse who does a show on RBN, Steve Elkins, I recommend him in particular. And he's been on this from the beginning. And, I mean, he's saying it's pretty clear that they want this extension a little more, whittling away, like another month. right now, at the very least, to try to get those numbers a little closer to something that could make them not seem like complete fools for shutting down the entire world economy. And, you know, they'd at least like the number a little bit higher, even if it's not close to what they projected. And then, like Steven says, yeah, next season, I think this Fauci, he's speaking from foreknowledge of a planned release for next season, which his cohorts are probably fully informed on by this point. So I'd say that he's basically telling us what's going to happen, and they're probably going to push their vaccine agenda more next season, have death tolls that are more distorted next season, you know, just like we thought Hillary, you know, that they distort the fraud at the voting stations more for the second attempt here. But so far, I don't know, they haven't brought her in this time around, but it's almost the same kind of thing, you know, election fraud and the manipulation of these numbers. But we know hospitals in the states here, Graham, are receiving $13,000 for every patient who they mark as COVID-19 positive. And that doesn't mean they did a test, like Steven said. Just like if it's maybe, possibly, can't rule it out, it might be some of the symptoms, you know, in the same categories with respiratory issues, and then they can mark it. And as far as the official code, well, they have two different medical codes now. One where it's definitely COVID-19 has been tested for that strain in particular. And the other code is, like I mentioned, just something very hazy to release the doctor from liability, but so they have real data if they want to see, hey, which ones at least we know tested positive and which ones were we just inflating. You know, they even want that known to have the two codes to begin with. But the one doctor on downloaded a lot of these videos from doctors before they're gone, obviously. Just like the ones out there with empty hospitals, there are also a lot of videos out there of doctors admitting these forms they're getting. The one doctor read it on the air, verbatim, where they're being coaxed by the medical establishments to these agencies to try to mark everything COVID-19 where you don't have to even test for it. They're saying, you know, well, you know, anyone that comes in, you know, just to be safe, you know, you couldn't just mark it COVID-19 where you don't have to actually test for it or anything. And, you know, and then, of course, the incentive, $13,000. And that's, you know, that doesn't have to be anyone who dies or even has symptoms, you know, just a patient. Just a patient who comes to the hospital for anything. As I say, you don't have to test them. Just mark them, and you get $13,000. If you put them on a ventilator, you get $39,000. But yeah, that's a snippet into how they're inflating the data that I can confirm from all the independent media across the states here as well. Graham,
we're making a fortune.
Oh yeah. But I think that the economy was going to crash. It's so interconnected now. The Western central banks and giant international corporations, you know, they're all connected now, you know. This isn't like 1929. I mean, if the United States goes down in a major economic crash, Europe will go down with them. So, I mean, they see how well China, Russia, Iran have all been doing. With these alternatives, a bunch of countries just signed an agreement at the end of March, basically the equivalent of 50% of the world's economy is going to be trading outside the U.S. petrol dollar, outside of the U.S. SWIFT system. And, you know, now we have, the Silk Road. I mean, China, Russia as well, trying to set up an equivalent, but already, these countries are already working fine in this Chinese system that is now a major rival. And the U.S. was already doing poorly, outsourcing, in debt, inflated stock market, largely based on debt. You know, I mean, they'll have these derivatives, and you're basically trying to act like someone else's debt, if you shift it around, can have more value. and actually make a profit off shifting around debt, selling it between different people. It's ridiculous, the kind of system we have over here. But, I mean, I think a lot of China bashing out there is disinformation as well. You have to be wary of that's what, to some extent. But I think the biggest excuse for everyone, I mean, Italy had a very high elderly population with a lot of pre-existing conditions, high comorbidity rate. And in spite of that, I think it's also being inflated in Italy. You know, but they had a big amount to start with. That's why the numbers were so high there. I'm not saying a lot of people aren't dying there, but they're still inflating even those numbers. And the reason all of Europe and the U.S. would be on board with inflating numbers is because they have to cover for an economy. They needed a controlled demolition just like the World Trade Center. But now instead of a war on terror in the aftermath, this is going to be a war on pandemics and a war on our freedoms, you know, our civil liberties. Unfortunately, with these tracking devices and vaccines that they're talking about, but I mean, implants that let you know if you're vaccinated and this sort of thing, they'd love to roll out. I hear that Trump is rolling back against Bill Gates, though, and Fauci, the World Health Organization, and he's relinquishing control to the Surgeon General. Time will tell if these people all are still compromised eventually by Gates and this vaccine agenda. But for a moment, we might have a pushback here in the States, is where we're at the moment. I mean, supposedly Trump has a bill in the works on the national level to stop all mandatory vaccines, is what it is saying. That might even imply for school children, even. I don't know. So
I have Trump jumping up and down about vaccines, saying they were really important.
Well, I think the main agenda is economic agenda, scapegoat that this lockdown is providing, that this coronavirus is an excuse for, so that the bankers can continue. You see, there's a big transfer of wealth once again from the hands of the many to the hands of the few. There's another redistribution of wealth we're already seeing with even this relief money. It's pretty similar to the bailouts of 2008 already, if you ask me.
Do you know what's absolutely crazy, Richard? They just suddenly found $7 trillion. You know, the Federal Reserve found $7 trillion to throw at the stock market, try and artificially prep it up. I mean, that's years and years and years of tax. It would take years of taxpayers' money, you know, to get that $7 trillion. And they just pulled it out of the hat overnight.
It's really a bunch of people who are intoxicated with power. Again, like I say, I can't believe it is that out of control. But yeah, these people should not have the authority to put the citizens that much further in debt with the stroke of a pen, you know.
I know.
And they do it more and more frequently all the time. You know, as time rolls on, it's amazing the amount of austerity, the amount of inflation. We're just supposed to continuously feel compounded, exponentially weighted upon us. Where, I mean, people could, I mean, you know, it was a lot easier for a person to support a family of four. In the past, no matter what sort of job they had, as long as they put in, you know, a decent full-time amount of hours. I mean, it's so different now. And I mean, if you go back even further, just you look at how much you get for the amount of time you and perhaps your family on your farm or however you converted your energy into resources, I mean, would give back to you. I mean, it was, and what you could sell excess from whatever you produced on your farm or however you did things. But today it's completely manipulated, so any profit goes to the elite, no matter how much we toil, Graham. And at the same time, further and further in debt with these figures, which are just completely, as you say, created out of thin air. It's just an insult at this point.
Oh, man, it really is. Well, like I say, they just found $7 trillion overnight and basically just threw it away. But yet, the taxpayer, the poor working man, would have to work for years and years and years, collectively, the whole country, to raise that kind of money.
I don't think that they ever pay it back. It's just the only thing our taxes go is to go right into the banksters' pockets and for interest on what we owe. Anything that they fund now, they just pull it right out of thin air and borrow more. It's just that's people talk about their taxes. You don't want your taxes to go to the military or people say their welfare or whatever. Well, your taxes don't go to that. Your taxes go to pay interest on the debt, and that's just about it. Anything else
yep.
they create, they pull. You know, they just make new money
and kick the
can further down the line. I was yep. reading an article right before we came on from last August at the Central Bankers meeting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. They have a big meeting there every year, and the guy, I forgot his name, but he's the head of the Bank of England, and he said that it was time for us to have a new reserve currency that was not the dollar, that was a basket of global currencies, because the dollar just couldn't stand up just because of the issues that Richard was talking about the BRICS, and that half of the world was able to do their business without dollars. And he talked about how much of the business in the world was done in dollars, but how small an amount of the economy the United States actually was, how it was way out of proportion. And I think that this is the death of the petrodollars, what we see here. This is the biggest change since 1971, at least, and probably since World War II, since they went off of the gold standard in 71 and Bretton Woods agreement was finished. And that's when Nixon did that. He did that in 71. By 1973, they created this petrodollar. And now, this is just the end of the petrodollar. When the oil is worth negative numbers, then the dollar's done. You know, we're just sitting waiting for the next shoe to fall. But unless we went back to work right now, I don't see any way out of this. And I suspect that you're right about the war as well. And, you know, China bashing or not, I do know that when China signed the most recent trade agreement that they have, this big trade deal they made with Trump, that they put a clause in there that was a way out. If there was an act of God or a pandemic, then they didn't have to buy the things that they had agreed to buy and vice versa with the trade deal they made. And, you know, it's just amazing that this came along exactly at that in time for that. And I don't know that it's not China per se, but the Chinese people, definitely not, but the CCP and the Chinese Communist Party is allied with our deep state, with our CIA, and with, you know, with the elite, with the bankers. They're the ones who picked Mao over Chiang Kai-shek back during the Chinese Civil War and set him up. And this is just, you can see the collusion between them. This test that they are doing, the PCR test that I described, it was created by a head woman, a head doctor, in the Wuhan biological weapons lab. She created the test, and she just got all the royalties for it. You know, even in her biography, she admitted to making, quote, a pretty penny off of this test. And it just, it's like right in our face. It couldn't be any more obvious if you look at the details of what's going on. And yet she, I forget her name. I wish I could, I can't pull her name out of the air, but she is Facebook's science advisor. She is the one who is censoring posts, deciding whether or not what you post is correct about this coronavirus. And she's the one that created it in the lab and made the test for it. It boggles the mind. I can't believe that people would have that much arrogance as to try to get away with this. But, you know, we let them do the pedophile story hour with our toddlers. I guess they thought, well, these people would put up with anything. I mean, it's pathetic. It really, really disheartens me.
Johnny here.
Hi, Johnny.
Hey, I would just like to contribute to Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener. That's so true, because of that scientist that you're speaking about, Stephen. She was working for Harvard, I believe, or one of these universities, these pseudo-intellectual universities, and they were getting paid to do this. Our taxpayers' money is going paid to develop these diseases to then push out to the people globally. And you bring up a great point when it comes to China. Then we sell the vaccine or the disease to China, and they release it over there, and we have a global pandemic. There's a lot going on, you know, 5G or whatever you want to talk about. It's bigger than we could understand, but really it's the banking and the globalists that are trying to control the markets, and 5G is going to be their tool to manipulate and control the resources.
I saw that China sent some of their drones over here. We saw footage of drones flying around and scolding people in China to start with, and they've been in Spain as well. These pandemic sensor drones, they're using infrared scanning technology that we first used in Vietnam to tell who's where, and it's just very dystopian. And the biggest disappointment of all for me is that Trump is standing there with these snakes and going along with it. You know, what happened to America first, you know? What happened to America, you know? He's going to make Israel great instead, but it's just he even spoke out against vaccines. I certainly hope something comes of that bill that Richard talked about of banning mandatory vaccines. That might give me a little hope. And that he did push back about funding the WHO, but it just seems to me that he's just going right along with what they're saying, and things just keep getting worse and worse. And, you know, it's hard to tell whose side he's on.
Well, Stephen, Stephen, I showed you the screenshots I sent you. You got those earlier, yes. Right?
Yes, about the vaccine bill, and about yours was about the Surgeon General taking abandoning the models that the WHO had. Yes, that at least is a little bit of hope, but you know.
But I mean, in addition to that, I mean, we had. This is what they're saying so far, okay, and. This has been, this is 1 week old. Last week on Wednesday, I believe this came out on the 15th. I heard about it on the Dr. James Fetzer's show. But Trump lays groundwork to ban mandatory vaccinations across U.S. President Trump has created a new division within the Health and Human Services Office for civil rights, with the express purpose of banning mandatory vaccinations across the country and ensuring citizens have a right to choose their own health care. With the establishment of the Conscientious and Religious Freedom Division, on Thursday, Trump had laid the groundwork to dismantle each and every vaccine mandate across the country. Big Pharma's chokehold on the nation's health has been released.
I certainly hope that bears fruit. You know, if things like that are happening, the media is going to hide it as much as possible. The media is in Big Pharma's pocket for sure. And if he's doing something behind the scenes on our behalf, then I'll be more than happy. I'm just getting disheartened watching it all. You know, I don't know. Fauci should be arrested. I mean, he committed a lot of fraud back during the days when he was investigating HIV. He had people on this drug that did them a lot of harm for up to a year. I forgot the name of the drug, but it was supposed to be a preventative, and it really harmed a lot of people, and it turns out that it was just, you know, the whole thing was fraudulent. There was a book recently released last week, I think it was, called Plague of Corruption, and one of the doctors who he worked with during that time, they ended up putting her in prison for 5 years for speaking out against the corruption, and she's gotten out, and she's released a book called Plague of Corruption. Mikowski, I think is her name, Dr. Mikowski. There's another doctor named Buttar, B-U-T-T-A-R, who has been speaking out against this, and he's the most well-spoken that I've heard. I for a minute, I saw a CMAT had called him controlled opposition, but, you know, I haven't found fault with what he said yet. He has covered the 60 gigahertz and the 5G aspect of this, and he seems to be standing up for people's rights, as far as I can tell, and speaking truth to what's going on. I've seen a lot of his interviews, and he's being censored. He has his own YouTube channel, and they took down two of the videos he put up. One where he talked about this test being fraudulent, the way that it was created and the way that the virus was investigated. He talked about how that was the problems with that, and then he talked about the 5G, and both of those topics were deleted by YouTube. And he's going to put out a part six to his it may be tonight, you know, I haven't checked the last few minutes, but his next video should be interesting. If he can get in touch with Trump, you know, that's the person who needs to talk to Trump, not this little Keebler elf demon that's standing up there. Man, I just every time I see him, I get enraged when I watch those news conferences now. It's just so sad to see what they're doing to us. And Trump seems to be either going along with it or blackmailed or something. I don't know what. The one thing that he, you know, the way he tweeted that the people should stand up for their rights in Virginia and Michigan, and watch out, Virginia. They're coming for your Second Amendment. He tweeted out support for those things, and then right after that, when the governor of Georgia opened up things starting tomorrow, he tweeted out, I don't know, that might be a little too fast. So it's like Trump is speaking both sides of his mouth. It's very hard for me to gauge exactly what he wants and where his loyalties lie.
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. I heard him saying some really contradictory stuff about vaccines. He said, you know, well, I've seen him, and I heard him saying that, you know, we need to get serious about vaccines. Vaccines are the only thing that's preventing us. And then I have a completely contradictory thing, where he said it was against people's Second Amendment rights to force vaccines on them. And for that reason alone, you know, it was enough to outlaw it.
Yes, well, yeah.
Graham, that one article I just read from this current bill in the works that they're talking about banning mandatory vaccinations. Under it, they showed a tweet that Trump did way back in 2014. It was from March 28th, 2014. The real Donald Trump on Twitter, and the tweet was a healthy young child goes to doctor, gets pumped with massive shot of many vaccines, doesn't feel good and changes autism, many such cases. That was the tweet. So,
and it's been reported that Barron had been damaged by a vaccine, which is one of the things that woke Trump up to it, and
he knows. So Trump
Kennedy
knows more than
a Kennedy.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Kennedy is very much working toward freeing us from these mandates.
I heard Trump trying to put Kennedy on his board.
Yeah, I heard that as well.
Have you heard news about that?
I haven't heard any recent updates, but I had heard of how much he had been involved with the current administration in the past few years, past couple of years here. I know that Trump knows more about the dangers of vaccines than he's saying openly, Graham, you know, is part of my point as well. So maybe he's doing as much as he can at the moment, and he's... But I mean, some people are claiming outrageous turn of event type developments are occurring, saying that because of Trump doing this now, turning things over to the Surgeon General, at the same time that he's turning his back on the World Health Organization, which Bill Gates funds more than 50% of at this point, so he pretty much has dictatorial control over the direction they take on things. We know how Gates has described, even back in 2006, as early as then in conferences, how he thinks depopulation is very important for the future of the planet, and if we're really smart, vaccines could be a way of accomplishing this, is the way he said it.
Yes.
So we know what he's really about, and he and Fauci, it's been suggested now that Trump has turned things over to the Surgeon General, that other people are now finding it being permissible to do to go ahead with lawsuits, that someone at least is already trying to sue Bill Gates, and that Bill Gates is currently leaving the country, fleeing the country, is what I heard. I don't know how much validity there is to that. It could be sensationalism, you know, some of these independent journalists trying to have something that sells. So who knows? But that's what I'm hearing.
Let's be honest here. Let's be honest here. The WHO is run by the United Nations. And if
right, but the United Nations are all for totalitarian control and vaccine mandates as much as anyone, though, unfortunately. But Bill Gates does fund them over 50% of their donations too, currently.
And,
so no matter who you're officially supposed to be, no matter who is officially supposed to be taking marching orders from, I mean, Bill Gates has a very strong influence. But of course, the United Nations are certainly not in our best interests. They're clearly behind. They're the public head of this whole Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, if anything, if any organization is willing to publicly take that role.
And this Ethiopian is a communist and has, he's committed lots of money laundering and violence in his country. He's got quite the track record. I don't remember his name, but he's a scoundrel for sure. And since Trump cut off the funding, temporarily at least, he delayed it anyway, then there was this huge concert, this celebrity held something or other. They had a big show, and they tried to raise money to fund the WHO. All these celebrities did it, just kind of the We Are the World kind of thing. This past week, it's disgusting.
Here's the thing, Stephen. You know how we heard about the news about all these celebrities catching the coronavirus, quote unquote? Now, if they're pushing this agenda with the concert, they should be the first ones to take the shots. They should be on TV taking the shots. But even then, how do you know that they actually take the vaccine? It's not just diluted salt water or whatnot. I wouldn't trust them either. But these people need to take the shots if they want to be first.
I don't know. I don't trust any of them. They just...
Well, that's interesting, too, because Hollywood. That's interesting because someone else was bringing up a good related point. if Trump were to be found out by the Democrats, for example, that he were to be pushing mandatory vaccines but wouldn't vaccinate his own children, it would be on every news station 24/7 for the next 5 weeks. But it turns out that is the case for Bill Gates. It turned out there was a conference of doctors where one of them happened to leak this to other doctors, thinking that it wouldn't leak outside the medical community, but admitted that that Bill Gates confirmed that he wouldn't vaccinate his own children. And the doctor said, I don't know about when the children are grown up later in life, how Gates feels about that, but as far as when they were children, Gates refused to have his own children vaccinated. And someone at the medical conference, one of the doctors leaked it, and it got out, but we're not hearing about that at all in the corporate media, of course. But like I say, because it's Bill Gates who is completely part of this establishment, and it's clear that Trump is an outsider, where we know how much they would be using that against him, just as much as anything, this ridiculous Russia collusion narrative they've been trying to push, for example. But it is amazing. I mean, how much they are trying to take at the same time of our Constitution, move us toward communism. I'm sure in Europe too, there's a
definitely
stronger push toward a communist way through this, Graham. Over here in California, for example, and Mark Zuckerberg is related to this one. In California, I was going to save this for the roundtable, but in California, they're actually giving illegals who are not going to be able to be eligible for the $1,200 payment because they don't file taxes with the IRS is the way it's being distributed. So these illegals in California are going to receive cash payments.
Well.
And this is going to be funded by the taxpayers, all right, without them okaying it. The other 50% is being donated by big corporations, which are on board with this whole agenda. And one of the big donors is Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook for this California cash payments to illegals of these $1,200 payments. So.
That's a certain thing.
What's that, Graham?
Go ahead, Graham.
No, I'm just saying that's a sort of globalist agenda, isn't it? The you know, open borders thing. There are no illegal aliens. Everybody's free to move. In theory, everybody's free to move from one country to another. You know, we're all citizens of the world. That's what they're trying to do. But in reality, they're going to make it very difficult to travel abroad. That's a plan.
That's well, here's plan. The thing that I wanted to bring up, a topic on that, what Richard was talking about. We hear the Democrats and even some of the Republicans talk about, well, we need to have low labor wages for the farms or the fields, and it saves the American money. I believe that is falsehood. The reason being is, as such, Richard was saying, we subsidize these farmers. We're giving them cash money. We're giving them cash assistance. How about all the people sleeping on the streets or people coming out of prison? How come they can't work and get a job? And why are we subsidizing this? They say, well, it saves us money. How is it saving us money when we're subsidizing immigrants? And then they're sending most of their money back to Mexico. I know this firsthand down here in El Paso. And I'm all against it. And I always hear this back and forth between the Democrats and Republicans talking about, well, we need low labor rate, labor and all this. How about the people that are coming out of prison? How about the people that are sleeping in the streets? Why can't we put them to work?
Good point, Johnny. Graham, it looks like you're just about out of time, sir. If you want to wrap up, I can play your outro music.
Okay, yeah. I was just going to say, I've not looked at the U.S. National Debt Clock, usdebtclock.org. I've not looked at that for about 3 weeks. And I can't believe it, but it's jumped up from, I remember the figures, it's jumped up from 23.6 trillion to 24.6 trillion. So it's went up a trillion in the last 3 weeks. Unbelievable. I'm just looking at it right now. 24,609,602,000,000 at the moment. Wow. Anyway, yeah, I just thought I would throw that into the mix. I'll be back. Going to wind up the show right now, folks. Be back. The round table, which is back to back with this show. You're more than welcome to phone in. We'd encourage it, actually, if you've got anything to say or to add or whatever. But anyway, I'll wind up the show. I'll hopefully be back next week. I'll be okay with the internet and everything. Hopefully be back next week for another 21st century jackabout. So I'll wind up the show and we'll hopefully catch you on the round table. Good night, God bless. Strich der Hammer smoy.
Kavas kaunu